Let's pray this morning again. Father, we need you. I pray, Father, for your Spirit to bring revelation. Lord, as I've prayed all week, God, we need eyes to see. Even in Revelations, you said to the church, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Lord, we need our ears to hear this morning, oh God, and our hearts, oh God, to understand. Give us revelation this morning, I pray, for your glory. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I am really praying for revelation this morning. This whole week, as I've been praying and seeking God about what he would have, the word became so real to me. I said, Lord, by your Spirit, we need revelation. And so I'm praying, God, open our eyes to see, because without it, we'll just leave the same. But I believe he wants to do something mighty this morning. I really believe that there's going to be pieces of truth that are going to get dropped in your heart, links that have been missing. There's going to be a change in your thinking this morning, because God's going to deposit this revelation to you. So I'm excited, and it certainly has done something in my spirit this week. So hang in there with me, okay? We have a spiritual drought going on, and I believe the Lord is revealing that in the natural to us through the natural drought that we're suffering here in Texas. The latest statistics is that 96% of the state of Texas is under a severe drought. 96%. And I hear that and I think, yep, that sounds about right. About 96% of the church is in a spiritual drought. And so we need living water. We need living water. So as I was praying about this, the Lord reminded me of John 4. And so we're going to start there. John 4 is so powerful because it is where Jesus Christ presented himself as the living water. In John 4, verse 5, he came to Samaria. And he was wearied from his journey. He sat by a well. Scripture says it was about the sixth hour, and a woman of Samaria came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, give me a drink. The woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. So Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. So the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? In verse 13, he answers her and says, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. So the woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I might not thirst nor come here to draw. Now I want to stop there for a moment, because she asked for the water. And in response, you would think that Jesus would have gone on and given some explanation of who he was. But what he gave her was living water. He gave her in action what it is she was seeking. Because his response to that, "Sir, give me this water that I might not thirst," Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have said well, I have no husband. For you have had 5 husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In fact, you have spoke truly." You see, he exposed into the darkness light. He gave her himself, the light of truth, into her darkness. He revealed himself as the living water. He goes on to explain to her that true worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth. And in verse 25, the woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, and when he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." You see, Jesus established that he was the Messiah and living water. So I want to backtrack. I want to take that's relevant for us today. He is established in our lives. He is Messiah and he's living water. But if you go back to the Old Testament in Exodus 17, the children of Israel had set out on the journey, right, from Egypt. And there was no water for the people to drink. So they've come into the wilderness, and you see in Exodus 17, verse 2, Scripture says the people contended with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." So Moses said to them, "Why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord?" Well, the people there thirsted for water, complained about why they had been brought up out of Egypt. So Moses cried out to the Lord in verse 4, and he said, "What shall I do with this people? They're almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river and go. And behold, I will stand before you there on the rock, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it that the people may drink." So Moses did so in the sight of the elders. So in Exodus 17, the people are complaining because they have no water. So Moses cries out and he says, "What do I do with this people?" God says, "Take your rod, strike the rock, and water will come forth." Now, I want to point out a few things about that. We need to see throughout the Old Testament, Jesus was present. I hear a lot of people not liking to read the Old Testament. But if you'll look for Jesus, it will come alive to you. There's things in the Old Testament that are so rich when you see Jesus. And there is a move in some sections of doctrine that want to just take out the Old Testament and say it's not relevant today. I'm telling you, it's relevant today. You throw out the Old Testament, you throw out Jesus. And so it's important that we understand that he's present in the Old Testament. The people obviously needed water physically. They say you can't live without 3 days, with 3 days without water. I think that's not necessarily true. But they were looking for water to sustain them physically, but God was wanting them to see the living water they needed to sustain them spiritually. You see, when God told Moses to strike the rock represented Jesus. Moses striking the rock was the prophetic act of Christ being crucified. All throughout the word, he refers to himself as the rock. And so when he was told to strike the rock, it was prophetic of Christ being crucified. In John 19:34, the scripture says, "But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out." See, the Greek word, and I'm so glad Pastor Philip is here. I didn't know he was going to be. He's going to be so proud to give me an A+. The Greek word for spear is longkai, and it's a primitive Greek word which means lance, which is the meaning of the Hebrew word for rod. You see, when Moses was told to strike the rock with his rod, it was to symbolize the spear which would pierce the side of the Son of God. And blood and water would come out of him. So let's go back to Exodus. As is in the flesh of man, after they traveled in that wilderness for 40 years, they're almost ready now to go over to the other side. They come up into another wilderness, and there's no water. They're still complaining, and they had forgotten what God had done 40 years before. They still were complaining about not having water. So let's look at Numbers 20. So we were in Exodus 17. Now we're fast forward to Numbers 20. The scripture says in verse 2, well, they had, in Numbers 20, verse 1, the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Zin. Now in verse 2, it says, "Now there was no water for the congregation. So they gathered together against Moses and Aaron." I want to stop right there. We've established in verse 2, there's no water. But if you go back to Numbers 19, one chapter before, you're going to find something interesting, because in Numbers 19, the Lord introduces the laws of purification to Moses. He tells them to bring a red heifer to be slaughtered, that Eleazar is to take the blood with his finger and sprinkle the blood in the front of the tabernacle of meeting, that there's a heifer to be burned, and then the priest is to wash his clothes. He's to bathe in water, that the one who burns the heifer is to wash his clothes and bathe in water. He goes on to say that the one who gathers the ashes and puts them outside the camp is to wash his clothes, that if anyone touches a dead body, that they shall purify themselves with water to be clean, that the man who is clean needs to take hyssop and dip it into water and sprinkle the water on the tent and on people so they can be clean too. Some of you are getting it. Verse 20 says, "But the man who is unclean does not purify himself, that person shall be cut off from among the assembly." If you don't purify yourself, you're going to be cut off from the assembly. "Whatever the unclean person touches shall be unclean, and the person who touches it shall be clean." All of these things in chapter 19 required the water of purification. In chapter 20, verse 2, it says there was no water. You see, God brought in the law. They had to clean themselves with water, but it was not possible. Any more than it's possible for us to be righteous enough and good enough to be forgiven of our sin. Jesus had to become the sacrifice. And he was present in that day as he is today. You say, The people were looking at their need for water as only physical. But God was showing them that it was just as necessary for them to have spiritual cleansing, water to cleanse. So we see in verse 3 that the people contended with Moses again and spoke, saying, "If only we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. Why have you brought us up to this place? It doesn't have grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, nor is there any water to drink." So Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and they fell on their faces. And the glory of the Lord appeared to them. In verse 7, the Lord spoke to Moses, and he said this, "Take your rod. You and your brother Aaron gather this congregation together, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water." So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded. He obeyed. He went out, he gathered the people, and he took his rod, just like he had done before. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock?" Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, and he said, "Because you did not believe me to hallow my name in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I've given them." You're not going to see the promise land. You're not going to walk into it. He actually did allow him to see it, but he never entered in. We think, wow, that's kind of harsh. I mean, he suffered with these people for 40 years, and he got a little angry, and now you're not going to let him in? That's kind of hard, isn't it? But if you understand the difference between striking the rock and speaking to the rock, you'll understand that he, in essence, was crucifying the Son of God again and not revealing the truth of their spiritual need. You see, he didn't just get a little angry and strike the rock twice. He crucified the Son of God again. He disobeyed the command of the Lord. God had told him, speak to the rock. He didn't tell him to strike the rock. And he didn't just strike it once, he struck it twice. Now there's a warning. There's a warning to those who have been given a responsibility to shepherd or lead God's people. That if you do not obey and believe God's commands, and you do not hallow his name, you run the risk of not entering into his promises. You see, Moses and Aaron assembled the people together before the rock. He obeyed him to that place. But then Moses said, "Hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock?" He brought God into his flesh. He took the name of God and entered into his own frustration and said, "Must we do this?" And in essence, crucified the Son of God again. God told Moses to speak to the rock, not the people. He didn't point them to the rock and teach them what God was trying to show them. In 1 Corinthians 10, Scripture says, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud." He's talking about the Israelites here. This is New Testament. 1 Corinthians 10:1, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud. They all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea. All ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. He was the living water to the Israelites in the wilderness. He was the living water to the woman at the well. And he is the living water to you and I today. He was with them. But they wanted physical water. They wanted their flesh to be satisfied, to be full. And I want to give you a picture of how much water this was. In Psalm 78, verse 15, "He split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink in abundance like the depths. He also brought streams out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers." They said, "Can God prepare a table in the wilderness?" Verse 20, "Behold, he struck the rock so that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed." This wasn't just a little trickle of water. This wasn't just a, "Here's my cup, Lord, fill it up, Lord." It was gushing. The living water came out of the rock and was so big, what's the word I'm looking for? It was so massive, it flooded the streams. It was more than they could have contained. He was trying to reveal himself to them, just as he longs to reveal himself to us. You see, we need Jesus to give himself to us as living water. Living water, more than we can contain. We come to the altar, are we, what, 15 minutes? He wants to reveal himself as living water that would overflow any container that you could possibly have. Do you know the potential? It's as if you were standing under Niagara Falls and trying to get a drink. That's the potential. That's how great he is as living water. More water than you could possibly drink from. The scripture says you'll never thirst again if you drink from this. But are we speaking to the rock? Or are we striking the rock? I have yet to see a man or woman of God speak until they have no voice left. Do you believe he is the living water? Or do you have your cup trying to get your trickle? Is that your mindset? Are you striking the rock when he has told you to speak? If you speak to the rock, you'll get so many spiritual insights, so many blessings, you won't be able to contain them all. But if you strike the rock, you'll get water. See, when Moses did that, he got water. But it'll be water that will sustain you physically. He's faithful, but you're missing it. You're missing it. He wants to do so much more. So much more than to sustain you physically. He won't deny you water, but what kind of water are you looking for? Just that your physical need would be met? What do your prayers consist of? Just provide for me. Make sure my flesh is taken care of. Make sure that I've got money and that my physical body is, oh, there's so much more. There's so much more. He wants to reveal himself as living water. But are you thirsty for living water? Are you desperate? How long can you go without spiritual water? Are you crucifying him again? Do you just keep striking the rock over and over again? God, why won't you answer me? Do you just strike the rock? Do you just get angry? Why aren't things going the way I want them to go? Strike the rock. You say, well, how do we crucify Christ again? Well, we take Moses as an example. If in fact that's what that symbolized when he struck it twice when he should have just spoke, we crucify the Son of God again when we do not hallow his name. We crucify him again when we don't believe him. We crucify him again when we join God in our flesh and call it direction. We misuse his name. See, Hebrews 6:4. Says that once you've been enlightened and you've tasted the heavenly gift and you've shared in the Holy Spirit, you've tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of this coming age, and you fall away and you've been brought back to repentance. It See, we're crucifying him again. It says, to their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. Land that drinks in the rain, often falling on it, and that produces a crop useful to those for whom it farmed, receives the blessing of God. But land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and is in danger of being cursed, and in the end it will be burned. Scripture goes on to say, we're convinced of better things in your case. The things that have to do with salvation, God's not unjust to see your works. But we want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end, so that what you hope for may be fully realized. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. He has promises for you. But you gotta speak to the rock that his living water will come. So many just keep striking, just keep crucifying the Son of God over and over again. If we speak, waters will gush forth. Living waters. God desires to reveal his Son to you in this way. But it's not going to happen if you do not hallow his name. It's not going to happen if you don't believe him. It's not going to happen if you don't obey him. He simply will sustain you, and you'll never inherit the promise. We have got to have the living water pour forth again from the rock, that the spiritual drought that we are in gets flooded with his living water. Flooded that we cannot contain it. It's not going to happen with somebody else praying for you. It's not going to happen. You've got to get on your face. This is real. You're going to die in the drought. And I'm warning you, it doesn't have to be that way. He wants to pour himself out on us. What kind of water do you want? Because it is available to you. I'm just going to open up the altar. I want to see the rock split open on your behalf. I want to see the living waters come forth so mightily. But you've got to speak. Speak until you don't have voice left. Speak until there's nothing left from you. That there would be nothing left. Holy Spirit.